LiveWire with Ling Pang.
Hello, I'm Ling Pang, and welcome to our LiveWire special. Today, my guest is lead vocalist Stephen Kalasu of Odyssey. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. Back in the 70s and 80s, Odyssey was a disco musical force. So popular, regular appearance on Top of the Pops, disco shows were huge in those days. You must be so proud of Odyssey.
Oh, I'm immensely proud, I have to say. And speaking of Top of the Pops, there's an episode where we did Going Back to My Roots. You can see it on YouTube. If you look to the right of your screen, there's a kid with a big afro playing guitar. I have no idea who that kid is, but they say he looks a little bit like me. And because, of course, I'm far too young to have been there. Wink, wink.
You come from a musical family, and I believe Odyssey began with your mum being one of the founders of the band, and they started singing and performing as early as the 60s.
Yes, it absolutely is correct. It started out as the Lopez sisters, my mom and her two sisters. There was a group even before that, but so it was the Lopez sisters, and it was my mom and Louise, who everybody knows later from Odyssey, and my aunt Carmen, who retired from the group. The show business was a little bit not to her liking, and she left the group to marry. And so my mom and aunt pretty much concentrated on songwriting and doing things like that. And Odyssey came about in the 70s when the city of New York was like nearly bankrupt. My brothers and I, we were teenagers, or almost young men just about, not going to school. There was no work to be found. It was a horrible time in New York. It's a very dangerous city. It was not a nice place to be in the mid-70s. So Odyssey was kind of formed as a means to pay the rent, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. We had a lodger named Tony Reynolds, who was the original bass player in Odyssey. My brothers and I, my aunt, my mom, and we would get extra musicians, and we started doing the tourist circuit around New York to, as I say, pay the rent and for my mother to be able to feed three grown men practically.
Your mom and aunt were so beautiful and attractive looking ladies.
I think you're absolutely right on that. Sometimes when I see old footage, especially, you know, in the Odyssey era, and I see my mom and I think, oh, wow, look at my auntie. My goodness, look how young they are. And then I stop and do the math and I think, whoa, wait a minute. They were pretty old ladies by the time a lot of this footage was taken, but they just retain their amazing beauty, right? Well into their 70s.
So, Stephen, did you have any interest in music from early on in your life? Or you already loved music literally from birth?
Almost from birth. From my earliest recollection is about two and a half. There was always a piano in my house, our house. And I could reach up, standing on the floor, and anything that I heard on the television, not anything, but most things that I heard, I could reach up and pick it out, even though I couldn't see the keys or reach the keys of the piano. And started my first musical collaboration with a kid who lived just over the road from me when I was about 8 and he was 9. And I had a little toy keyboard, he had a guitar, but we used to get together at each other's house and we started working on, you know, little 8 and 9 year old compositions. But, you know, the interest was always there. And long before Odyssey, actually, I'd become a professional in the music industry in my teens.
Odyssey's 80s mega hits, were they a surprise to your mom and aunt?
Well, Native New Yorker wasn't a huge surprise, I have to say, because as I mentioned, it was New York was the morale of the city was just at an all-time low.
Here is Native New Yorker.
You grew You're the heart and soul of New York City. In love, love is just a passing word. It's the thought you had in a taxi cab that got left on the curb. When he dropped you off at East 83rd, oh, you're a native New Yorker. You should know the score by now. You're a native New Yorker. Music.
And so when that song came out, it just sort of reminded New Yorkers of who we are and what we're made of. And I think for that reason alone, because the song was done previously by Frankie Valli, who people might know from the Four Seasons.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
He recorded the song first. But things hadn't gotten in New York to quite the point that they did by the time we recorded it and did it. And released it in 77, where, as I say, New York was just about at the rock bottom that it could be. And so it wasn't a real big surprise when the song took off, because it was just the thing that was needed at that time. As for the rest, those are all hit and miss. Our next album, nothing came off of that album. Second album, and then it was the third album that the top 10 hits really started coming, you know, fast and furious and beyond.
Beautiful songs. Also special is that when you watch Odyssey on Top of the Pops, always look happy and cheerful, and they give you a lift.
I've heard, and I don't want to blow my own horn, this is just what I've been told, that that is the one thing that, even as I continue with the legacy today, that many of people who come to see our shows still say about Odyssey. They even say I look like my mother, even though I don't see it. but that same thing comes across when we just always have a good time. And when you have a good time, you give your audience permission to have a good time. And that seems to have carried through me.
You continue with the legacy of the band. Your mother would be proud of you.
I like to think so. I like to think that she's always with me. She visits me and my aunt. And I'm immensely grateful for all of the over the years, over the decades now, of the immense array of talent that has come through to assist me in carrying on with this legacy. I couldn't have done it without each and all of them, through all of the musicians, singers, others, you know, who have helped me to keep this legacy moving forward. It's I've been incredibly blessed, and I like to think that Mom would be very proud. I'm sorry she didn't get to meet so many of the people that I've been working with, especially over the last 10 years.
Tell me about the current setup of the band.
The members of the group are not the Peter sisters anymore. They're kind of long gone now. I have two ladies who record with me. One by the name of KJ. Her name is Kate Kate Sutherland, but we call her KJ. And another lady by the name of Michelle John, who also records with us and has been gigging with me and touring with me. And there are my two ladies now of Odyssey.
When you're on stage, visual, costumes, choreography, they're all blending together. Do you also are responsible for the design and staging?
Yes. Actually, as far as the staging, I have a sort of loose but tight sort of guideline. We do what I call eyeball choreography. What that is that basically we're all good enough dancers where we all just sort of join in. We almost know instinctively what moves the other's going to do. And so we all have a way of just falling in together. And it always looks like we designed it, you know, months ago, even though we're doing it live and spontaneously in that moment. And as far as the costuming goes, the one complaint I think I have about some modern entertainers, I insist that we have to look like we meant to come here and perform for people, not like we just picked up our jeans off from the side of the bed from last night and t-shirt and just threw it on to come and do this show. No, I want us to dress up, wear proper performance clothes, you know, clothes that simply say we've made an effort to come here tonight to perform for you.
The time has changed since the 80s. And how do you find that the music and the style appeal to the younger fans?
Well, that's the wonderful thing that the whole era, even with the modern music, a lot of it is sampled from old music, from the 70s and the 80s music. And a lot of young people have become curious about where, because they all know it's sampled and it's old stuff just redone and reimagined. And so we have an amazing following, and particularly here in Britain, it's also the fact that the parents play this music, our music, grandparents play our music for kids. And as bad as we may think they are, these even will be the good old days for our grandchildren. And we even do a few gigs, several a year throughout the country, where it's all young people. I mean, we call them the kiddie gigs. I mean, we're talking about very young adults, of course, 20 years old, 25. But when you consider that our music was made 30 years before a lot of them, well, 20 years at least, before a lot of them were even born. But they know about it because it still gets played on commercial radio, the BBC, throughout a lot of countries, and still gets occasional play in the clubs.
I want to know more about Odyssey moving over to UK. I love to play another song. Would you like to tell me which song you want to play?
Well, this particular Odyssey track marks a sort of a move over, sort of going back to our roots, so to speak. More about that later. But it was a sort of change of direction for Odyssey. It's a song called Inside Out, and it's one of my favorite Odyssey tracks.
Feel the city life surround you. And she's always on the phone, but you just don't think that you can fight it. Don't give up, 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 darling, what you dream. It's like the words here in this song. Without love, yeah.
You said Odyssey has been very busy since you arrived in the UK 25 years ago. Do you think that the 25 years in the UK have helped Odyssey to develop the band even further to the fans across the world?
Absolutely. First of all, we had more hits in the UK than we did in the United States. And the reason for that was, I guess I'll have to just say that there's a different a kind of segregation that existed in the music industry back in the day. And basically, the short of it was that black artists were supposed to perform a certain kind of music, supposed to have a certain kind of sound, if you like, which Odyssey didn't precisely conform to. We did all kinds of stuff, all kinds of flavors, all kinds of influences and things like that, which were at our time just unheard of. So it was very difficult for the label to market us. They just didn't know, you know, we weren't black enough to be black and weren't white enough to be white and weren't green enough to be green. So they didn't know, they couldn't figure out how to market the group on with such a broad range of material. In the UK, there wasn't that same element of segregation. If they liked a group, a band, whatever its makeup, whatever color the group was, whatever influences it had, or whether it had several different, it didn't matter. So if you listen to all of our top five hits, none of them sound like the other one. The only common denominator, except for going back to my roots, is my mom's voice. That's the only thing that ties them all together. But otherwise, it would be difficult to even know that it was the same band because the music is so different. And yet they all five of those, plus some others that were what we call turntable hits that got played in the clubs and played at the Blue Light house parties, you know, kind of thing.
Did your mom, Lillian, retire from music or continue to perform until her last days?
No, she did retire. I took over the band in the early millennium, I think, maybe 2006, 2007, somewhere. You have to forgive me. I'm a little vague on it. That's not time I actually like to think about, to be honest. But somewhere around 2006, 2007, maybe we did one last big tour, last big arena tour. And from then on, the traveling back and forth, because she lived here sometimes in the UK, and then mostly she lived in Florida, in a part of Florida that was quite remote, not reasonably close to an airport and things like that. So it began to take a toll on my mom as she got older. And a bit further down the road was the early stages of cancer. And so that made things even harder for her. And so gradually, that's where I had to start looking for other singers and trying to keep it going. When she finally just retired and said, listen, you know what, I just can't do it anymore. So pretty much kept it moving forward from there.
In 2014, your band recorded an EP together. Tell me about this.
Well, that was the first, primarily, most of my, although I did some of the recordings with Odyssey, and was on some of the albums, mostly my contribution to the group had always been its live performances. I was a musical director, you know, throughout the 80s and, you know, for a time in the 90s. And so I was always the guy who put the live shows together. But I have always had production skills, you know, technical skills, et cetera, et cetera. And I felt like in order for us to keep the legacy going, we needed to have more material, you know, new material, plus maybe some remakes of the old material. And so that's how that came about. But at the time, if I can be completely honest, Nile Rodgers from Chic had sort of made his own reemergence. And suddenly he became, you know, the man once again, almost as much as he was back in the 70s and 80s. And little known to a lot of people, Chic had written music for everybody, including Odyssey. And Together was one such song where it was written and actually performed by Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards. But it wasn't produced by them. And for some reason, it didn't get I think by that time, they were everywhere, and I think they were, you know, had pretty much done what they were going to do. So that one song, Together, didn't get much traction, didn't get much airplay or anything or much attention at all. Mm-hmm. But since he was back in the news in 2014 and thereabouts, we thought, well, let's revisit that song. And so I sort of brought it up to date. I modernized it a bit. Sang the lead myself, and we did that EP, and it did marginally well. At least it at the very least it let the world know that I'm still out here, we're still out here, and Odyssey is still going and still making music and going forward.
Next year, have you got gigs already planned for that?
Oh my goodness. Well, I have to tell you, 2020 was already set to be a really banner year. We've got, we had 8 arena gigs with the fabulous Four Tops and the Temptations, you know, opening for lots of major acts all over the country and venues from small theaters right up to arenas.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened. But the good news has been that most of those performances have, rather than being canceled, have just been postponed into 2021. So
yeah.
I think at last count, I think we already have about 50 odd dates. Well, I just want to say that if you want to catch up with us, it's hashtag Odyssey NYC. That's ODYSSEY NYC. And you can find us on Facebook, Odyssey the 80s Band, or my name, Stephen Collazo. And you can find out where we're going to be and what we're doing and everything. And it'd be lovely to meet everybody, because I never get tired of hearing the stories of how our music has been the backdrop for so many people's lives. It's always so wonderful. It's a wonderful privilege. And I'd like to thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Stephen. Lovely having you on the show. Now, could you introduce one more song for us to play?
Oh, fantastic. Well, the last song will be an old school expression of what our new motto is today. It's old school meets new school meets old school. That's what Odyssey is today. And to sum that up, our last song would be Going Back to My Roots.
LiveWire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.